I'll be reading from Luke 12. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It is going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret the present time?"
Good morning.
Glad to see all of you. Visitors, we're glad you're with us. Got several visitors, but lots of familiar faces that are back with us, who have visited with us in the past or been with us. We're glad you're here. Had a great week last Sunday. Most of you were here. We had, David always does an excellent job, and had a great time of food and fellowship together. Just a great, great time. Glad all of you were here. We had a lot of visitors last week that did not realize it was Friends and Family Day. They just came visiting. We were glad they were with us as well. There are some themes, some lessons, some sermons that are worth repeating with some frequency. And this morning's lesson for me is one of those. As we look at Jesus' teaching as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, as he begins to ask the question, "What time is it?" And I think the last time I preached it, that's what we entitled the lesson, "What time is it?" Take a little bit different approach today, but somewhat the same theme, because it's important for us as God's people to know what time it is, to know what's going on around us, to know where we are, not just certainly from a world history standpoint, but in a spiritual way, where we are individually, where we are in time, in God's plan. Because Jesus' message was, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is passing by. It is our opportunity to make a decision about the kingdom. And in making that decision, then it should and must frame and influence how we live and how we act and what our attitudes and decisions are. And that's what I want us to talk about for just a few minutes this morning, about how that impacts us. David, last week, referred to Paul's discussion about resurrection. And Paul says that because resurrection is true, because Christ was raised from the dead, and because the rest of us who are children of God will be raised to eternal life, it should impact the kind of people we are. Paul asked it in this question. Because this is true, what kind of people ought we to be? Well, Jesus, in a little different way, but still frames the question based on the teaching of truth. And Jesus would say, because the judge is coming, and all of us will then face judgment, what kind of people should we be? How should we live and act, and what decisions should we make? In the middle of the passage that I want us to go over, Houston read that passage for us about understanding, being able to read the signs. Reading the signs, knowing what the weather's going to be based on the signs. And I don't know how accurate they were, maybe more accurate than we are today. I don't know. Because now we put percentages on things, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. And they say there's been rain in the forecast every day. I hadn't gotten any rain. But the folks over on Bradley Creek had a flood. If you don't know, they had about 4 inches on Friday. So you can be, my barn lots were pretty dry, and 300 yards behind them, it was muddy. So maybe they're more accurate than we thought. But I know one thing, you can get up in the mornings now, and when it's already hot, as the sun's coming up, you're pretty sure it's going to be a hot day, right? Even I can figure that out. But we do kind of know from the signs how things are going to be. Are we going to get a rain? I remember somebody telling me years ago, and there's a lot of truth to it, when you see the underside of the leaves, you better be getting to the barn. When that wind starts blowing and the leaves are flipped over, you better start looking for cover. He said, y'all understand those things. You can read those signs and know what's coming. But there is something greater going on around you that you are oblivious to. It's really what Jesus is saying to them. And he calls them hypocrites. Now, what about this? Because that stuck out to me. Because I'm not sure in this place, at this time, in this conversation, I would have referred to them as hypocrites. But here's why I think Jesus did that. Because the people he was speaking to were claiming to be spiritual. Were claiming to be following God. To be about God's business. And the reason I say that is, that's important because as God's people, we should be about God's business. Jesus, when he goes to the temple for the first time, and you remember, he doesn't leave to go back to Galilee with the crowd, and it's not till evening when you're gathering everybody up that Joseph and Mary realize Jesus isn't here. And when they find him, he's in the temple, and when he's chastised for not doing that, which we all would. You say, well, if my son was in the temple, I'd be proud. If you'd been looking for him for 3 days, it would be that, since that question was, are you okay? I'm going to kill you. You know, it was that, we've been looking for you, you've worried us to death. And Jesus' response to them is, did you not know I would be about my Father's business? It's just logical. This is where I would be. And so what had happened, many of these folks that Jesus is talking to were quote-unquote religious, but they weren't really seeking God and his business. And so Jesus says, you're hypocrites because you appear to be leading people in godliness, but you really are blind to the ways of God, because God, in a tremendous way, a way that has been prophesied about and with great power, is working among you right now, and you don't see it because you are acting. Your heart is far from God. You should be able to read the signs and know what's going on. And Jesus is acutely aware of what's going on because obviously he's a part of it. But in the passage right prior, Jesus said, but there's a baptism I have to go through. What's Jesus talking about? He's not talking about John baptizing him. He is talking about the arrest, the crucifixion, the death that he's going to suffer. And so while they're going on about life and arguing about all of these things, Jesus is saying, something great is going on among you, and I'm a part of it, and you're missing it. Let's go back and look at how the passage kind of at least begins. And I'm in Luke chapter 12. As Luke records this phrase, Jesus begins to talk about them being ready. Are you ready? Ready for what? Well, he talks about a servant who has been put in charge of the master's house. And he says, is the servant ready for the master to return? If the servant is smart and doing what he ought to do, he'll be taking care of the master's business, so whenever the owner, the master, returns, he'll be prepared. He'll be doing the right thing, what he's supposed to do, managing the estate, taking care of the workers. But he says, what will often happen is, and we know it's true, the master's gone, and the servant who's put in charge starts liking to be in charge, and everything keeps going the same, and so he starts mistreating the workers. He starts not taking care of business. And what happens when the owner comes back and he's not taking care of business? He's mistreating them. Judgment comes on that servant, right? Because what should he have known and what should he have done? He should have known, I'm going to give an accounting for what I do. When the master returns, he's going to hold me accountable for how well the estate operated. How well did I treat the people who worked under me? Were we profitable? And that's not a term used in this passage, but it's just thought he'd been given a responsibility and should have known that the master was coming and been prepared for that. But when he's not, he'll face judgment from the master. The master's not going to be pleased with him when he finds him not about his business. So why is Jesus telling them this story? Saying, you need to be prepared. You need to constantly be about God's business. You ought to be about doing the right thing because a day of reckoning, a day of judgment is coming. A day of giving accounting. And so every day we need to be mindful of that as we live our lives, that the Master is going to return. And we're going to give an accounting for what we have done. Just read part of this passage, verse 47. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So the servant who has greater opportunity, more is going to be required. But the servant should be about the master's business, knowing that at any time the master can return and he is going to give an accounting. Then Jesus reminds them about how important things are that are coming up, coming among them. Mike, I'll pick up at 49 again for just a moment. I have come to bring fire on the earth, Jesus says. Let that sink in. I have come to bring fire. He gives this thought, and how I wish it was already kindled. Now, Jesus is talking about, I'm coming to make a difference. I'm coming to make a change, and I wish it was already time, but I've already given you the backdrop. What's going on? What's Jesus thinking about? Is these people are what? Going about their lives totally oblivious to how important things are around them. Remember that. Because I think there's some frustration in Jesus' teaching. Okay? Some frustration. I wish it were already kindled because it's time. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. How distressed I am that until it is completed. Do you think about Jesus being distressed? Because the passage immediately before we began, as Luke records it, talks about not worrying. All right? So Jesus was confident in God's ability to deliver on his promises, right? And about not worrying. So what's Jesus distressed about? We don't know all of the answers to that. Partly because of the great things he's going to suffer, the importance of them, the significance of them, the change. I mean, because at the cross and at the resurrection, our whole world changes, doesn't it? That's not an understatement. Let that sink in. Our whole world changes. And Jesus is anticipating the cost of that change, but that it is coming. And he is distressed because of the importance of it, because of the anxiety of it. And he looks at this group who is majoring in minors, who I think are not only claiming, but who in their hearts believe they're about God's business, and they're totally missing God and his purpose, and he's frustrated with them because they are confusing others. And he says, I'm going to bring fire, and I wish it were kindled because it's time to make a difference because important things are going on. And people of God, or people who should be people of God, are spending way too much time involved in things that are unimportant, when very important issues, very important things are going on. Then he talks about judgment. This immediately follows the passage that Houston read for us. And he puts it here, and he's not giving us instruction, I think, at this point, how to get along with our neighbor. Which sometimes it comes up because he says, be reconciled with your enemy, or be reconciled with your neighbor before you go before the judge. And he's not in the middle of this great discussion is he pausing to say, well, let me tell you how to practically live. He's telling you should know from experience, from the way things are, that you need to make things right, and do the right thing before you go before the judge. And I've shared this with you many, many times before, and I've shared with you partly why, because right outside my window, I watch them line up at the judicial building every day. They line up on the sidewalk very often. Now, I'll tell you what's interesting. I do find this very interesting. We have the sidewalks there. When they line out the door and line out into the street instead of along the sidewalk, you begin to go, why are you standing in the street? I have lots of thoughts I won't share with them, but you know, it's don't stand in the streets. But people are going to go, and that's part of our system, and for various and sundry reasons, people go. I mean, it could be estate issues, to criminal issues, to disputes among neighbors, but here's what I know, and what you know if you've been there. Maybe even if you've just been sworn into to do a deposition or something. Have you ever been there where at some point you've been sworn to tell the truth and somebody's firing questions at you and you have to answer them? You know, and you don't have much. I mean, you don't have, you know, you say, well, you know, I think I'm just going to get up and walk out today. You're going to answer those. But when you go before the judge, that judge is going to make a decision. And guess what? You're going to live with it. You're going to live with the decision that that man or woman makes. And so the point is, you'd be better off to keep some control of this and try to work it out with the person before you get there, because you might not like the judgment that's made. It might be a just one, but try to work it out before you get there. Because he says, try hard to be reconciled to him, talking about your adversary, or he may drag you off to the judge, and the judge may turn you over to the officer, and the officer may throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So what he's saying is, if you need to get things right, work it out. Because if you go before the judge, and we don't have debtors' prisons, nor do we work for free till we pay our debts. But the thought here, you owe a debt, and we've seen it in Jesus' parables before, you owe a debt, and if you can't pay it, where we're going to throw you and maybe your whole family into prison until the debt gets paid. Make things right, because when the judge makes a decision, you're going to pay every dime. What does that have to do with this passage? Jesus is saying, know the time. Things are changing. God's grace is with us, and God's judgment is coming. And now is the time to be about God's business. Now is the time to make things right. Now is the time to repent. And that's going to be the very next passage. Because you don't want to come unrepentant before the judge. That's his point. And he brings something they would know. Because maybe all of them, or they at least knew somebody who had gotten a decision they didn't like. You know, sometimes the thought is, and maybe not just in court cases, but when you have to make a decision, if everybody leaves unhappy, you say, you know, that probably was a pretty good, I was probably fair. If nobody got everything they wanted, that was probably a fairly fair decision. So people understand that. And he's saying, so while you have control, make things right, because the judge has authority, and Jesus would tell them, judgment is coming. Then as we look at this last passage for just a moment. So they understood judgment, and they understood having to pay for all that you owed. And here's where they go that you and I like to go to, just as human beings, by our nature. Because when we talk about justice and judgment and people paying what they owe, most of us are all for that, right? Because it's always somebody else who is doing worse things than we are, and they deserve judgment and punishment, right? Don't look at me blank. That is rhetorical, but most of that's true. Most of us are law and order folks, and that's not a bad thing. So immediately they come to Jesus and say, "Ooh, teacher, you are exactly right. Let me tell you about a group of Galileans who Pilate had killed. You know, they were doing wrong, and whoo, they got what they deserve. And here's what Jesus says to them, and it's really important. He says, don't think that those Galileans were the worst of all the Galileans. Or that the individuals that the tower fell on, that they were getting divine judgment because they were worse than anybody else. Because that was the thought of the time. If something bad happened to you, it's because you had done something bad. And Jesus is saying to them, don't point at other folks and think that their lives are worse than yours or mine. And so they've received this judgment. Because he says, I'm going to read this whole passage. Do not think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way. But he says at the end, I tell you, no, that these Galileans weren't worse than any of the other Galileans. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Now, who's he talking to? It's important. To people who would have considered themselves at least religious, probably righteous, I can only imagine the discussion when they come to Jesus and they kind of come talking about, well, you know what happened to that group? They got what they deserved. And instead of Jesus agreeing with them, he throws it back and said, they weren't worse than anybody else. Look at your own life, and unless you repent, you will suffer judgment as well. Jesus' call is for all of us to repent of our sinfulness and to be about God's business. Know what time it is. Know what's going on around us. Jesus is coming to bring about salvation for us. And he calls us into the kingdom where God's will is done, and we need to be about God's will. And that's the important thing that's happening. And don't miss it with all the other things going on in the world of the first century or of our world today. That the important thing is that we repent and live godly lives. Now, if we're sitting here today saying, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I try to avoid the big sins, whatever those are in your mind. Well, Jesus jumps on me and you too, so we're not going to get off this morning. So if you don't have on your steel-toed shoes, you're going to need them, because Jesus is going to step on our toes. Because Jesus not only said you should repent from those things that you have done wrong. Mike, let's read the rest of that passage. I believe verse 6. Then he tells a parable. Jesus tells them a parable. Because maybe, and you got to put yourself in their shoes, because this is where I would go to. They start thinking, I really don't have a lot to repent from. And I'm not making fun of them. Okay? I'm not making fun of them, because they probably were trying, to a large degree, to live under the law. They weren't going to be able to do it perfectly. But I think many of them were trying. And so they might have all said, you need to repent, but I'm, as Johnny Cash would say, because you're mine, I walk the line. You know, I'm doing good. And here's what Jesus says to them. And it's important. He said, I tell you, a man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. Now, before we move on. Was the fig tree being ugly to anybody? No, fig tree wasn't. It was not a bodock. It was a fig tree. Fig tree wasn't doing any harm to anybody. It wasn't reaching out and grabbing anybody. It wasn't sticking people in the night. But what are fig trees supposed to do? It's not an ornamental fig tree. It is a fig tree planted to produce fruit, to produce figs. It was not invasive. It was not ugly. But it was not producing fruit. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." For those who might have been standing there, for all of us, the thought was, "But I don't, you know, I know I'm not perfect, and there's not one of us here that would say that we are, but we are probably pretty good folks. I certainly don't know everything about you, and you don't know everything about me, and you know I'll never claim to be perfect or even close, but we're not bad people by almost any standard. But we are imperfect. But one great thing we have to guard against and watch is thinking, well, because I didn't do this, I'm doing what God calls me to do. But Jesus reminded them and reminds us that not only does he not want us to be ugly and not be those who commit sins, but if we're going to be about God's business, we need to be in the fruit production business. Our lives need to be about doing God's will, doing God's business, helping others, spreading the gospel, lifting burdens, warning about impending judgment. That's what God has called us to do. And so he tells us parable. He says, "I haven't called you just to take up space and not do harm, but I've called you to produce fruit." But what do we learn about God? In the midst of Jesus kind of being distressed, and I really think a little bit upset with the audience, in the parable he tells us that God wants us to bear fruit. And not only does he want us to bear fruit, but he's going to provide us with opportunity and ability to provide the fruit that he wants us to produce, because all of us are different. We've talked about that many times. And that God is patient. You know, the thought was, give them an opportunity. Let's work together. Or as a vineyard, let's work with the tree, fertilize it so it can produce fruit. God wants to work with us. We need to encourage each other to be about doing God's business. To be about producing fruit for God, not just taking up space. Well, Jesus is saying, for some of us, not only out in the world, but even among us, there are those things in our lives that are sinful, that we need to repent of and move them out. Why? Because judgment is coming. This life is short. Even if we live a normal life expectancy and the Lord doesn't return in that time, it's still short. I had that conversation with Martin Likens yesterday as I ate more than I used to. I said, "Martin, you're 25 one day and you wake up and you're 50 and you don't know where it goes. And you know, you look in another 25 years, you know, when you're 25, in 25 years you're 50, and in 25 more you're 75. I know I'm good at math. I'm not making light of that, but as we look at time, it goes quickly. And Jesus is saying, you should know, you can look at the signs, know what's going on around us. Know those things are important. And it's not being involved in the things of the world. We should repent of those things that bring about, as Solomon would tell us in the wisdom literature, that bring no fulfillment and that separate us from God. But as James would tell us, not only are we to keep ourselves unspotted, but we're also to care about widows and orphans in their need. We're also to be about God's business. What time is it? What do we need to be about? Our lives are short. Whatever that time is, they're relatively short. And the Lord is going to return. I don't know when. I have no prediction. I have no idea. But I know this, he's going to come, and we're going to stand before him in judgment. And so today is a day that we have the opportunity to be about God's business and righteousness, loving God and loving our neighbor. And Jesus would say, I just want y'all to see that. You're so caught in everything. Just see what's going on. That God is at work bringing about salvation and preparing a great home for us. Be about God's business. Repent of your sins. And be about producing fruit for God. It's so important that we never let that be from the forefront of our minds as God's people. that we be seeking God, because God will provide everything else. He'll take care of all the other problems if we'll be about His business and let Him cultivate us to be the producing the fruit that He wants us to produce. Let's look for the opportunities to be about God's business. Maybe today there's something in your life that you know God doesn't want there, that it's keeping you from being about God's work and about His business. Jesus would say, you know what's coming. Repent of that. Repent of that, because none of us wants to stand before the judge and get what we deserve, because we have the opportunity to come before God forgiven because of His mercy, because of the sacrifice of His Son. You need to come in a public way. Do that while together we stand and sing.